Welcome to Wheelchair Nerds, a podcast to connect and inform people who utilize, prescribe, and provide seating and wheel mobility equipment. I'm your host, Angie Kiger. Before we jump into today's topic, a brief reminder that the information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical, billing, or legal advice. Now, let's get to it. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Wheelchair Nerds. It is the fall now. We've talked about pumpkin spice lattes and apple cider on previous episodes of the podcast, but we are slowly but surely wrapping up season one of Wheelchair Nerds. It has been such a fun season. And as we head into November, wanted to make sure, you know, here in the United States, November 11th is when we honor specifically our veterans. And we wanted to do a podcast related to veterans and talking about resources that are available. I have a number of friends that you guys, listeners, know. I live in the DC metro area, and I've got a lot of friends who are military retired, active duty. And so it's inevitable when you have conversations with these folks, you hear things regarding how their lives have changed, whether it is an external or a visual disability that they have, or if it's a hidden disability. I've got a good friend of mine who was diagnosed with closed head injuries years after he actually got out of the military. So there's just a lot that our veterans who serve us and are fighting for our freedom and are just doing everyday jobs within the military that they experience. And so I think all too often we think about resources and, oh, hopefully there's great resources that are available. And we want to make sure that we are making folks aware of what resources that are out there. So I decided to connect with a veteran that I have heard about through various parts of the Permobile world and Tylite world. I was telling her yesterday that I heard about you even before you joined the Permobile Foundation, because our guest has been doing some great things out there for veterans, and she is a veteran herself. Today we have joining us is Centra is her first name, but clearly goes by CC. So you'll be hearing me calling her CC this entire podcast. So before we jump into it, CC, real quick, who are you? What do you do? And why are you a wheelchair nerd?
Well, I am a wheelchair nerd, honestly, because my name is CC Mazik. And also because I would like to learn more and to dish out what I've learned to other wheelchair users as well.
Absolutely. I think that is the whole vision for this podcast. We were talking yesterday about the podcast in detail about why we started, and it was to bring our tagline is that we're dedicated to bringing individuals who utilize, prescribe, and provide wheelchairs together, because everybody's a part of that team and bringing those different perspectives. And here's the thing, for someone who utilizes a mobility device, I do not always disclose that, but some, as folks, my friends who use mobility devices will tell you, that is a part of your life 24 hours a day. Like, it is not. Absolutely. So it's important within this podcast. That's what we talk about, so many different topics. And it's not just about the wheelchair itself, because when someone goes in for a wheelchair evaluation, they want to know that they can be as independent as possible with their mobility in every part, piece of life, whether it is an activity of daily living of going to the bathroom at home or going out and jumping out of airplanes. Absolutely. A little teaser there. Yes. CC actually has jumped out of airplanes a few times, so we'll talk about that too. But if you're okay with it, CC, I'd like to tell a little bit about your story and, you know, kind of have people get to know CC and how you actually are aware of these resources that are out there. Let's jump into it. Who was CC growing up? Like, where did you grow up? Born and raised, that sort of thing.
Okay, so, well, I came from a military family, starting with my grandfather, maternal side. Also, my mom was in the Army Reserves, down to her two brothers. They were in the Army. My brother's in the Army, well, in the Coast Guard. He wanted to join the Army, but health issues. So he got well enough to join the Coast Guard. He's actively still in. He's a commander out in California, Oakland area. Mm-hmm. And from there, I joined because I wanted to continue my education. Mm-hmm. I knew some information from my family stating that the military would pay for my education. So I went right in, and off the back was in the 82nd Airborne Division. And 20 years ago, jumping out on a routine jump, gust of wind took me really, really like no other time before. And I thought I could slip away from other jumpers, but I could not. And on November the 24th, 20 years ago, I collided with another jumper. It's called a high altitude entanglement. And while two jumpers can ride one parachute to the ground, it worked, we thought, but at the very last minute, we broke loose and I didn't have enough time to prepare for a proper landing. And I landed with my feet and my knees together and straight. And you were supposed to have your legs slightly bent and to do a proper PLF, parachute land and fall. That did not happen. I was paralyzed on impact. And the last thing that I remember was the doctors cutting my boot off, where I woke up several days later at another hospital in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Cape Fear Valley, with my mom to my side, stating that I would never walk again.
Wow. 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 Lot to unpack there. So you joined the military. You were thinking, I'm guessing, you know, you were looking to go to school, as you mentioned, to get some support with that. I think a lot of folks, you know, a lot of my friends talk about how when they first went in, for various reasons, either they didn't have the means to pay for education, or they had other friends and family who had received the great benefits regarding education. I've got a friend of mine whose husband has retired, and he actually all the way went through the Air Force and earned his PhD and never paid a dime for it. And actually was working out at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs right when he finished his career up with the Air Force. So lots of great opportunities for education. But with that said, you know, a part of me is intrigued. I have never jumped out of an airplane. It is on my bucket list. But without giving away too much of our ages, I will just say that Cece and I are both Gen Xers. so you guys can understand. If we start randomly talking about hip hop from back in the 90s, you'll know why. But So with that said, when, you know, I think about where I was, you know, back in early 2000s and what I was considering, I got to ask, if I was to go into the military, I don't know if jumping out of airplanes would have been something that I would have jumped at the opportunity. Like what, how did you get down that road?
Okay, it wasn't mine. So in the beginning, I went to college right after high school. I went to a fashion school in Atlanta, Georgia, wanting to become this fashion stylist. I've always had a knack for clothes and dressing differently. I even took it up in high school. One year at that school, I'm like, you know what? I need more education to do what I want to do, which was become a stylist. And I said to myself, well, Cece, here are your options. You know, very well educated on the military. Why don't you do that? And so I did. I took that year off and I went back and I went to basic training, AIT. And I actually went back to school and I graduated with a degree in fashion merchandise. That was my first degree, my love, my passion. Mm-hmm. From there, yeah, I was signed up with the 82nd Airborne Division. And at the time I was in the reserve. I was in the reserve. So I went active duty. And once I went active duty, that's when the airborne thing started coming. I wanted to go so bad active duty. They said, okay, Cece, you can go in your same MOS, military occupation specialty. That's what that. Or you can go right now with this MOS. Mm-hmm. I said, I want to go right now. And I had a plan. I had a plan, Angie. I said to myself, okay, I'm going to go to basic training. I'm going to go to airborne school, but I'm going to fail. But I'll still be active duty. Bingo! I had it. But something in my nature would not let me fail. Like, I try to fall out of runs, you know, went to the hospital for a concussion, and I was out. We were out. It was three of us. We were out. We handed in our equipment. By the end of the day, we were back in formation because a female complained of which we call the slinky effect when we're in formation running and we slow down, speed back up. So she complained, I guess it worked. We all got our equipment back. I was like, no, I don't want equipment. No,
I don't want to take it back. I'm good.
Right. So I remember exactly what the Sergeant Airborne said to us in the beginning. They said, look, Airborne, if you don't want to be here, let us know. So after everything in my failed attempt to not complete airborne school, I went up to the Sergeant Airborne. She was a female. And all she told me was, Airborne, turn around, look at that formation. How many females do you see in that formation? By the end of the day, I was jumping. And that's how my jumping career got started. I was assigned to the 82nd Airborne Division, aviation at first, and then I was stationed at what we call the Jump Master School, which is Advanced Airborne School.
Where is this, Fort Bragg?
Fort Bragg.
Okay. So had you ever had like aspirations of ever, like, were you a daredevil beforehand?
I didn't think I was a daredevil. Not at all.
So it's never been on your bucket list to be like, no. I'm going to jump out of an airplane one day.
No, matter of fact, I was in an airborne reserve unit, mm-hmm. and I used to clown them all the time. Like, I'm not doing that. You guys are out of your mind. Yeah.
Well, yeah, did you learn to like it or to love it? Like once you got into it, or was it still one of those things that you were like, I'm not sure this was the right option for me?
Yes. Up until the day that I jumped, would say the same thing. Like, girl, what is wrong in your head? Why are you jumping out of a perfectly great aircraft? And I just said to myself, look, you know, it looks good. I'm a black female. I'm in a prestigious unit mm-hmm. of the Army, which is the 82nd Airborne Division, which got me promoted. I mean, really fast, really quickly. I fell in love with the mission. I fell in love with the camaraderie. I fell in love with my chain of command.
Mm-hmm.
More so than jumping. That was just, okay, something that I signed up for that I had to do no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that. But it's just the chain of command and how they treated me and my lifestyle as a single parent.
Mm-hmm.
It's what I fell in love with too. And I said, you know what? I can do this for the rest of my life.
So you did have that switch where you went from, I'm going to go into the military, serve, and get some awesome support from the benefits of education, learn more about myself, to all of a sudden, I could do this as a career?
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. I hear that from a lot of my friends that are veterans. They're like, yeah, we just went in thinking it was going to be, you know, it's a 4-year contract or I've never served in the military. So I'm not sure how long the lengths are, but, and then all of a sudden we get in and it's just like a family that they never knew they wanted and that was out there. So
love yeah. I miss it to this day. Our own little community, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do.
Let's take us back a bit again. So let's flash back to, it's ironically that we're doing this podcast interview in early November, right before your 20th anniversary of that fateful day. After the injury, you wake up and your mom says, well, Cece, you're paralyzed, never going to walk again. I can't even fathom what went through your head. What are some things, do you remember that day vividly or is it a blur? Like, how was that day?
Some of it is a blur. The conversation part of it is I just distinctly remember her saying that the doctor's diagnosis was that you're not going to walk again. And I just never thought that I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, nah, because I have a son to raise and I just didn't want to repeat the cycle of my mom taking care of my son. You know, like how we were sometimes with my mom and my dad. I just felt like that was my responsibility and I needed to either hone down and try to walk again or mm-hmm. accept this new way of living. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. At the point of me really realizing that never walking again was not in my head is when they were rolling me to an x-ray room and I saw a therapy room. And I saw the two silver bars where you can balance yourself mm-hmm. on. And I just begged the doctors and the nurses, just give me a try. Let me try to do this. Let mm-hmm. me try. So they did. They put mm-hmm. that belt thing around me. And when they saw that I had movement, quickly, I was medevaced mm-hmm. to Augusta Spinal Cord Unit.
There's a polytrauma, a polytrauma VA in Augusta, right? Okay, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. They advised that it would be closer to home where I could mm-hmm. get to see my son versus going to Walter Reed. So, of course, I was like, yes. So I put me on a helicopter and I got medevaced to Augusta. And from there, just, I'm going to say, being an incomplete paraplegic, it has been a blessing more than a curse. I can say that. It has been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think in a million years that I would have experienced the things that I've experienced, met the people that I've met. It's sad to say that, I had to be paralyzed to do these things or to meet these individuals. And also I get to witness my son growing up, where I can take him to school every single morning and pick him up and go to his sporting events and his recitals that he had, you know, he played the cello. So yeah, so I was a very active mom, and he also played lacrosse. So it is a blessing. It's been a blessing to me, despite the internal things that I am dealing with, you know, because of the injury. You know, we deal with that. And of course, you have to adapt and overcome. And that is my mantra to a lot of paralyzed individuals.
Well, let's talk about that, because a lot of the folks that, you know, my friends I've talked to, I've never had this conversation with them, but I'm curious as to, and maybe this is because I worked at a pediatric hospital. I remember doing team meetings with the families and stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, your child's life has changed. What is next? But do you ever recall the conversation, or how do they approach you to be like, okay, Cece, so you've been injured and your career, you know, your aspirations were to remain in the Army and serve this country until retirement. However, that's not going to work. How does that transition process work from the logistics standpoint, if you recall that? And then also from the emotional processing side from you to be like, this was going to be my career and now I'm not able to be in the Army. How did that go?
Well, it was a struggle at first. Many tears shed, knowing that I could not live out my dream of becoming a lifer, as they would say in the military, and serving my country, which I fell in love with doing. I was all about the mission and just making me a better person, of course, my son as well. So when that got ripped away from me, I had to really process what's next for Cece. And what I said to myself, okay, Cece, you always wanted to go back to school. So I did that. And you need to build up this kind of, I'm going to say shell, this hard shell of, especially if you have someone you're raising like a child, because you want your child to learn from you. You want your child to respect you. So I just put it in the forefront of my mind that I'm doing this for him. I'm giving him a sense of giving up is not an option. You have to adapt and overcome through life, through all trials and tribulations of life. And this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to be a better person because of this. I'm not going to let this take me, because every day is not a good day. It's not a good day every day, but you have to take those days and match it up with, okay, I'm alive today. I'm alive. So which one is better? You going through your little bit of shit versus you being alive and getting to witness what's out there, what's to come. So I just say God has given me the second chances at life, and I'm going to ride it until the wheels fall off. That's my approach.
Yeah, amen to that one. So we hear this, and I'm trying to figure out, because I want to be as respectful is the right word. I don't really know what the right word is here, but I know for those of us who've never been in the military, we still hear those statistics of the number of soldiers who take their own lives. And I think a lot of times people get caught up in the fact that, well, of course, you know, Cece probably has some down days because she's in a wheelchair. Yeah. But what about all those people who, like my friends who have closed head injuries that if you were past them on the street, you'd have no idea there were disabilities with them. I think a lot of the resources that are out there are hopefully now focusing on mental health, not just the physical. Was it the same back to, you know, 20 years ago? Like, were people recognizing that? So I'm a recreation therapist by undergraduate background. You know, were you working with recreation therapists? Were they working with you on, okay, Cece, awesome, you want to go back to school. Awesome, you want to have a career. But what about the other side of Cece? Did you have those resources to access?
Absolutely. I had amazing, amazing support system while I was going through this traumatic injury. One was the VA hospital, where, of course, my recreational therapist, thank you so much for what you do, by the way. Thank you. My recreational therapist, just amazing individuals. And also I had a psychiatrist. You know, they also tackle mental health as well. Every day you're in therapy trying to figure out your new way of living. So, yes, that's one avenue of support. that veterans need to really hone down on and take advantage of the VA system, because they have a plethora of great, great therapists that will match up to you. If you don't, if you're not in the likings of one, you can choose another one with no penalty, no, like someone looking at you crazy. But yeah, that was a great thing. I discovered a lot of things about myself, about my family, what was going on, what was so hard, the communication style, even down to my sleeping habits, things like that. It's just amazing to get out and to have someone listen to your thoughts now of being paralyzed and, okay, yes, this is my new way of living. How am I supposed to go out in the world that you see people that are walking with two legs and now it's like I have four, but only two of them are working, which my wheelchair wheels.
Was there a turning point for you? I know that you've talked about that when you were in high school, you were a baller. You know, it seems like when you were telling the part of the of your history regarding airborne school and trying to fail out, I was kind of laughing to myself. I'm like, well, Cece, based on what you share with me about how that you have this competitive drive anyway, I can't imagine it was crushing your soul to try to fail at something. You know, when you were now living in this new body, obviously different than the one who was a CC on the court when she was in high school getting it done. You know, did you have a turning point when you're like, I can do this? I mean, shout out to the rec therapist, you know, my teammates down there in Augusta, like, I'm hoping they got you involved in some sort of recreational activities and competition.
Yes. So the turning point for me at that point was when the recreational therapist came into my room with a basketball. He didn't even know about my past and playing basketball. She just came in to promote the National Veteran Wheelchair Games.
Okay.
Which was sponsored by PVA, Paralyzed Veterans of America. And she said, Cece, once you're clear, we have an awesome opportunity. You can participate in various sports. And we is being held in different state every single year. And do you like to play basketball? And it just, my heart just lit up. My eyes got big. And I'm like, yes, please, I'm there. It's like, calm down, calm down. You have to be cleared by the doctor. And 2005, Minnesota was my first National Wheelchair Games. And let me tell you, I did not want to leave. When you're surrounded by light individuals that are in chairs, you can talk in the camaraderie and you can share experiences. Amazing. It gave me a little bit of my self-confidence back. You know, it did. And by competing, and I'm like, yeah, I can do this. So it gave me the confidence, honestly, to live in this world, the civilian world. It did.
Yep. So hypothetically speaking, what if someone's listening to this and they're like, yeah, you know, they're 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, even more post-injury. Like, yeah, I remember somebody walking into my hospital room and telling me about this wheelchair basketball or wheelchair games, but I wasn't in the mindset to take them up on that offer then. Is it too late? Like, how would somebody learn about the wheelchair games if they either don't recall or no one's ever told them about these opportunities that are available?
So one, you start with your rec therapist at your local VA.
Okay.
And of course, they can steer you in the right direction. Learning about the wheelchair games, of course, is going to come from your rec therapist. Because it's sponsored by Paralyzed Veterans of America, PVA. So of course, we want everyone in a wheelchair that is paralyzed to come to join us to make it even better. So you can share your experiences and share your, I guess, what you're going through so you can see someone else and be like, wait a minute, what I'm going through is not that bad. You know, not to compare, because every paralyzed individual is different.
Right.
So, but yeah, definitely go to your local VA and talk with your doctor, your rec therapist, because you have to get cleared by your doctor. To fill out an application. So you can find more on their website as well, pva.org.
Okay.
To find out more information. And the next wheelchair games is going to be held in New Orleans.
Nice. Is it held the same time of year? Like, is it like a, it's an annual around event?
The same time, summer. Okay. Summer, preferably. The end of June, July, early July is normally when being held.
That's super cool. What about other organizations, you know, that you've worked with over the years that you think have some great resources for veterans as they're either trying to get back into life or, like yourself, 20 years post-injury, who's still just trying to live life?
Yes, yes. So another organization that I'm a part of that is dear to my heart is DAV.
Okay.
Disabled American Veteran.
Mm-hmm.
DAV, they sponsor the Winter Sports Clinic that's held in Aspen, Colorado every year. So you can also go skiing. So you have your choice where you can choose summer games, everything, track and field, racing, anything, swimming. And now you can strap up your boots, put on your winter parka, your nice snow bunny outfit, and hit the slopes in Aspen, Colorado.
That's pretty sweet. So
the DAV, not only that, amazing organization, they actually got me to find my voice again, truly find my voice. I was never the type of individual who would do a podcast or to do speaking engagements. I was always in the background and too shy to speak, but it's just something about them. They kept pushing me. And at the time, they saw more in me than I saw in myself. So I'm grateful for that. And not only DAV, we have the Christopher Reeves Foundation.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. That I am newly a part of and learning as well. But they also have a great, great dedication to individuals with spinal cord injury.
United Spinal Organization. I believe that they've got a special little group that focuses on veterans, too. I could be wrong. I need to check. Yeah. So the United Spinal, look them up. They're a national organization. They also have local chapters. Okay. I believe they have something dedicated to veterans. The reason why I say that is because there was a young man. I say young man. We're not young. Well, we're still young. He was a couple years behind me. He was in the Marines and sustained a spinal cord injury. He lives in Richmond, Virginia. And I want to say I saw on his LinkedIn that he was doing something with United Spinal, that they have a veteran. So I have to go back and do some more research on that. But, you know, Google's your best friend. I think finding that motivation just to make one phone call. And I mean, it's scary for everybody. You know, mental health, that's something that is near and dear to my heart too. You know, I talk about that a lot with folks. It's like the first step is just reaching out to a friend. I'll never forget when I, you know, found my therapist. It was a random conversation with a friend who was a family therapist. We were in the kitchen of another friend's house. And I was like, tell me more about what you do, because I think it may be beneficial for me. And, you know, this is unrelated to military stuff, but I think, you know, being someone who is a Gen Xer, it was still, unfortunately, I think you millennials and you Gen Zers that are listening to this, you guys have an advantage because mental health wasn't nearly as faux pas. You know, there's been a shift in that. So all my Gen Xers listening to this too, you know, get into those sorts of mental health resources and get active on any sort of level. I know some folks who, some of my friends who are tetraplegics, also quad, to change the names to the names of the definitions over the years, but tetra is how we refer to folks who have sustained spinal cord injury a bit higher than a para. You know, I've got some of my friends who are extremely active, and they're like, if I didn't have recreational activities and resources and whatnot, my mental health would be in the toilet. Like, I just couldn't do it.
I agree. And if sports is not your thing, I get it. But you can find through these organizations that it's something for you there.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's something for you there.
Yeah. I mean, online gaming, I feel like, I think PlayStation's coming out with a new gaming system for people with disabilities. I know Xbox had theirs, but PlayStation's coming out with something either late this year or early next year, a new adaptive controller. You did?
And don't know how to play. I have a pink controller the whole nine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's the lesson here. Of course, I want to highlight veterans. Talk about veterans, but it's also remembering that, you know, life isn't led doing simply what your vocation is. There's so much else out there. I feel like any of my recreation therapy professors will be super stoked to hear me talking about this, but It's another thing I often talk to rec therapists. Here's my brag point for you, CC, is that so the assistive technology, ATP, you'll see some of us sign that credentials after our names. It's assistive technology professional credentials. When I first went to go earn those credentials, recreation therapists were not permitted because they weren't considered one of the rehab sciences. And so I appealed that back in the early 2000s and got the regulation changed. And so I think it's super important that rec therapists know that somebody's mobility device, whatever sort of piece of assistive technology, I tell you what, I mean, if you didn't have the right seating system and wheelchair, you would not be healthy enough to be able to participate, and you wouldn't have the stability, the balance, the ability to move around, any of that sort of stuff. So, you know, it is, everyone should be a wheelchair nerd, quite honestly. I mean, understanding the basics of it.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, I just remembered also, you are a couple of months ago, maybe less than a couple of months ago, a couple of podcasts ago, we did an interview with Ashley Davis from the Permobil Foundation. You're on the Permobil Foundation's board also, right?
I am. I'm a year in with Permobil, and I really, really enjoy the people. I really do. That's another avenue that can take Permobil as, I guess, a stepping stone, because they really, really help out individuals with wheelchair. They got me a wheelchair.
There we go.
Greatly, greatly appreciate it, and I need my other one was falling apart. So they looked
For sure. Yeah. So permobilfoundation.org. It is the nonprofit of Permobil. Permobil is a global manufacturer of wheelchairs and seating mobility equipment. But that's another great organization that I think people, you know, need to know more about, and, you know, spread the word. Everyone, like, keep people informed, you know, tell your friends and family as you hear this, because I think so many people don't realize the resources that are out there for them. Travis Mills Foundation is another one for veterans. I don't know if you follow Travis Mills. He's a gentleman up in the Northeast. I want to say he lives in Maine. He is, I believe, a quadruple amputee. If not, he's a triple amputee. But he has a foundation, and they do all sorts of really cool recreational activities. I could totally see you in Maine doing fishing and all that sort of stuff. You're such an adventurous woman. You might end up there at his retreat center at some point.
I have never fished a day in my life yet.
Yeah.
I've been talking about it. I've been wanting to do it, wanting to try it, because it's calm and I'm so upbeat. I'm used to slamming my ball. I'm used to, you know, hitting chairs. To go to something calming, I want to see. I remember years ago, I tried out curling.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How's that? They wanted me on the team and all that good stuff because of my strength. But I just felt like something was missing. I couldn't throw the stick down. I couldn't. You know, they're like, no, CC, you can't do that in this sport. I'm like, maybe this is not for me. I like trash talking. I don't know.
Well, I've never played curling, never seen it live in a person, but I always see it on the Winter Olympics. And I'll be honest with you, I don't see much trash talking. I see people taking their broom calmly using their broom. But I mean, I will say I am the same way. I was very, very competitive when I was younger. Now, me and my coworkers hear about this, because for a long time I was, I work out, go to the gym, all that kind of good stuff, busy, busy life. And it wasn't until, and this is so cliche, but it wasn't until last year when I was like, I need some sort of other recreational activity that I can do and engage in. I picked up pickleball. Girl, that is fun. Pickleball is fun. All right, we'll play next time we're together. I love it. It's so much fun.
Wait, I'm not a pro or nothing. Look,
no, me either.
I got my butt whooped at the wheelchair games. It was our inaugural pickleball. Yeah. Everyone signed up for it. I'm going in there freshly, just practicing one time. Guess what? With my recreational therapist, drove down to Augusta thinking, got whooped. Yeah, but I still practice on days that I'm not doing basketball. Either I ride my recumbent bike or play pickleball. It's a good cross trainer for basketball.
Indeed. Yeah. So lots of fun things out there. Well, CC, thank you so much for sharing your story. I'm thinking, you know, when you're mentioning your son as we're preparing for season two, I think another episode we might bring you back for at some point is parenting with a disability. You know, your son was already around when you were injured, but I think a lot of times people wonder, how does someone parent from a wheelchair? You know, how is that different?
It's very hard, but you have to have that will and that determination. Yeah, I mean, I would sit my son on my lap Mm-hmm. After I would get him out of the vehicle, sit him on my lap, and I would wheel him into the daycare. Mm-hmm. I did that, picking up and dropping off. And mm-hmm. it's difficult, especially on cold days, rainy days. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Lots of great knowledge. As the whole point to this podcast is just sharing stories, sharing knowledge, just to help people feel that they can continue to advance their lives and to do whatever they want to do. So
live life without limitations. That's what we strive to do.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be as independent as we were.
Absolutely. On that note, thank you, Cece. I know you will be back. And thanks so much for listening to this podcast, guys. We absolutely appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Wheelchair Nerds, presented by Permobile. Today's episode was brought to you by...
The Tylite CR1 wheelchair is the perfect combination of lightweight carbon fiber construction and custom fit technology. Designed to maximize your efficiency and accessibility so you can move with ease, the Tylite CR1 will impress you with true innovation, rare in its class. Learn more about the Tylite CR1 today.
Thanks for checking out this episode. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single one. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is @WheelchairNerds. And tell your friends about our podcast, too. Oh, and we really appreciate it if you give us a 5-star rating and leave a comment sharing what your favorite thing about Wheelchair Nerds is. Last but not least, if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss or know a great guest, hey, it could even be you. You could be that next great guest. Send us an email. Tell us why. You can reach us at wheelchairnerds@permobile.com or DM us on one of our social platforms. We love hearing from you.